This is a health warning from Dr. Approved Medical, America's trusted resource for back braces. If you're 65 or older and suffering from back pain, you may qualify to receive an advanced pain-relieving back brace at little or no cost to you. Many people are now using our pain-relieving back brace as an alternative to surgery or harmful medications and experience pain relief that they haven't felt in years. Don't let your back pain turn into something worse. Remember, if you qualify for no money out of pocket, there's nothing to lose and only real pain relief to gain. Our friendly team of experts will handle all paperwork and we'll deliver it for free. 800-507-1148. Your pain-relieving back brace may be covered by Medicare at little or no cost to you. Call our hotline now and get free shipping, plus a complimentary, easy-to-use pedometer. 800-507-1148. 800-507-1148. 800-507-1148. Little to no cost with full insurance payment, copay, and deductible. Supply promo subject to qualification while supplies last.
Live, worldwide, Sports Byline USA. And here's host, Ron Barr.
And glad you could hang around for another hour of this edition of Sports Byline. A little bit later on the 3rd, 4th, and 5th of July, we're going to be taking some time off, spending it with friends and family and enjoying the holiday, and I'm sure you're going to be doing the same. But if you're going to be driving around the country as well, do something I always like to request of you. Please do not drink and drive, and always use those seatbelts, because those seatbelts can certainly save your life. So we'll have the best of Sports Byline Wednesday, Thursday, the 4th, and also on the 5th. Coming up in the next Sports Byline, I'm going to go into the library and share with you an interview. You have to be a little bit older to know the name Minnie Minoso in baseball, one of the great players in Major League Baseball, and I'm going to share that interview because I got an email asking. Sidney Moncrief will be with us, very timely with free agency around the NBA. Also, Galen White will be here, an author who has a fine book out, and Charles Haley. And I'm inviting Charles back on the show. I've had him a couple of times because I read an article, him talking about being bipolar, and that was the source of the problems he had when he was playing in the National Football League. He would get very emotional, and Ronnie Lott one time had to come from the locker room across the hallway. He was playing with the Raiders at that time, and he came over when, again, Charles Haley was playing with the 49ers just to calm him down. They were good friends. So we'll talk about that because he's been very outspoken about what the problem was like and what he had to do. The Hall of Famer will join us. That'll be coming up on the next Sports Byline. A little later on in this hour, Dave Stewart will drop by. You know that name, former Major League pitcher for 15 years, who has been a pitching coach, a sports agent, front office executive, and a general manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks. He played 15 years in the majors, playing for the Dodgers, Rangers, Phillies, A's, and Blue Jays. He had most of his success with the Oakland A's, where he had four 20-win seasons, dominated the postseason, and had an 8-0 record with a 2.08 ERA in the ALCS. And, of course, he won World Series as well, three of them, the Dodgers, the A's, and also the 1993 Blue Jays, threw a no-hitter and had a great rivalry with Roger Clemens. And then right after that, starting on July 12th, they're going to be playing up at Lake Tahoe, the American Century Golf Tournament. And every year, they invite a Warrior Open champion in that tournament. And this year, it's going to be retired Marine Captain Jerry Woods. This is a great story that you have to hear, and we'll share it with you. Good to have you with us on Sports Byline.
And now, a page from the Diary of Flo.
Dear Diary, there's something about protecting people's homes through Progressive that inspires me, because I just had an idea for a book. Well, it was originally an idea for a movie based on a play inspired by a podcast. But the idea is how you can save when you bundle home and auto. Might not be the best idea for a book.
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive.
Maybe a radio commercial? Guess we'll never know.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Hey guys, losing your hair sucks, and I should know. I've lost mine. And two out of three guys will experience hair loss by the time they're 35. Well, it might be too late for me, but it's not too late for you. Now there's Keeps, the easiest and most affordable way to keep the hair you have. These FDA-approved products used to cost so much, but now, thanks to Keeps, they're finally inexpensive and easy to obtain. For 5 minutes now and starting at just $10 a month, you'll never have to worry about your hair loss again. So you just sign up. It takes less than 5 minutes, answer a few simple questions, snap a couple photos, and you complete your online doctor consultation. A licensed physician will review your info. They'll recommend the right treatment for you, and then it's shipped right to your door every 3 months. Keeps offers generic versions of the only two FDA-approved hair loss products that are out there, and Keeps treatments are up to 90% effective at reducing and stopping further hair loss. So if you suffer from hair loss, the last thing you want to do is wait to see a doctor. For a limited time, you receive your first month of treatment for free. Go to keeps.com/golf. That's KEEPS.com/golf. Do it today. Keeps.com/golf.
You know that maintaining your home indoors and out means working with the best brands. Lowe's helps you do it right by carrying trusted names like John Deere and Craftsman, and we help you save on them too. Now when you buy a John Deere Z-Track zero-turn mower, get a $200 Lowe's gift card via mail-in rebate. And you can get your choice of a Craftsman 20-volt max cordless string trimmer or a Craftsman 2-tool 20-volt max power tool combo kit for $99. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offers valid through 626, U.S. only. John Deere offer excludes California, Alaska, and Hawaii.
I'm pretty handy around the house, but now that I have kids, I don't want to spend my Saturday installing a toilet or fixing an air conditioner. But thankfully, there's HomeAdvisor. HomeAdvisor helps me find the best home pros in my area to handle any kind of project. You can read reviews of the pros, check their availability, and even book appointments online. And what my wife loves most is that HomeAdvisor is completely free to use.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app to get started.
HomeAdvisor.
Let me ask you a question. How do you feel about genetically modified ingredients?
Don't like them.
Artificial flavors and colors?
No thanks.
Clean ingredients.
Now that I like.
When you care about what's in things and what's not, shouldn't your vitamins be clean too? Sundown Vitamins are all clean all the time. Non-GMO, free of gluten and dairy, with colors and flavors from real food. We even have USDA certified Sundown Organics and kids vitamins too. When you're living clean, choose clean with Sundown Vitamins at supermarkets, drugstores, or on Amazon.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
The American Century Golf Tournament is going to be held at Lake Tahoe starting July the 12th. And since 2014, Warrior Open champions have earned nearly $100,000 in personal prize money at the tournament, and the tournament has raised over $5 million for charity over the years. And this year's participating Warrior Open champion in the American Century Tournament is retired Marine Captain Jerry Woods. Jerry was deployed to Iraq and Afghanistan, and during his second deployment to Iraq, his unit was involved in a battle at Najaf Cemetery in Iraq, and he was hit by a mortar round and received severe shrapnel wounds. He returned to full duty and eventually deployed again. And after 20 years of service, he retired in 2018. And golf has played really a significant role in his recovery and transition from the military to the civilian sector. The sport provides an avenue to escape when needed, a mental and physical challenge to help with the healing, and opportunities to meet and play with many other veterans. First of all, Jerry, tell me about your love for golf, and how old were you when you picked up the sport?
I started golfing when I was about 12, so that's about 28 years ago. Been playing for a while. My dad used to golf, but he didn't take me out too much. I learned it from my Uncle Kenny, and he taught me the game, would always take me out, and we continued to play until a couple of years ago he ended up passing away. But you know, he taught me the fundamentals of golf, and, you know, I've enjoyed the game, you know, ever since I was little, and, you know, tried to play it no matter where I was at, you know, and I've even played out in Afghanistan. You know, we took a couple clubs out there and, you know, a few golf balls, and I was able to hit a few balls out there. But, you know, it also, it helped me in the recovery of my injury. You know, I couldn't walk very well at first, and I had to go through a lot of rehab, and obviously having the love of the game of golf, you know, I was eager to get out there on the course, and it really helped me kind of work my way back into, you know, being able to physically, you know, walk, then run, you know, and it also helped me mentally. It gave me a chance to kind of just get out there, be alone, decompress when I needed to, but then, you know, also talk to others, you know, whether it was a veteran or even the civilians that I met on the golf course. I've met so many great people, you know, out on the course, and, you know, I truly appreciate the game of golf. And, you know, I think, you know, in a way it has, you know, helped me transition and, you know, potentially kept me on the path to, you know, finish my career in the Marine Corps and, you know, recover from my injuries.
You got to help me out a little bit here. Now, I have been to Afghanistan a number of times. I'm trying to picture in my mind, Jerry, that Afghan golf course. I mean, if you hit it out of bounds and you hear an explosion, you don't go out looking for the ball, right?
Yeah, definitely. No, so it wasn't necessarily a golf course. We just, you know, hit a few balls into the desert and that was about it. But yeah, definitely weren't walking around with golf clubs and searching for a ball. We just hit it and let it be.
Okay, well, thanks for clearing that up. I would have gone on through the rest of my life wondering. I know the discipline of golf. And I know the single-mindedness of it. I also know the discipline of military service, especially in combat, and the single-mindedness of that. Is there any correlation? Did you find the way you approached golf was somewhat, to some degree, the way you approached your military service?
Yeah, I think it kind of, you know, like I was saying that, you know, golf has given me the opportunity to either, you know, be out there on my own, but also be there and, you know, play with others and meet other people that, you know, whether it helped me as a, you know, being on a team or, you know, just being an individual. But, you know, having the discipline and the honor and, you know, just integrity of golf and, you know, being able to go out there and, you know, you hit it five times, you say you hit it five times, or you went to the hazard and you have to take a drop. I think just having that mindset, you know, helped me in the military, and it helped me understand, you know, having honor and loyalty, you know, and having integrity, you know, just really helped me in my military career.
And, you know, it's an individual sport, unlike team sports. And I know it's team effort in the military, but really what you put into it is what you get out of it. And I assume that was also very helpful to you in your military life.
Yeah, I mean, you know, definitely golf just doesn't, you know, you can't play golf very well if you don't play enough. So obviously practicing and that translates into the military, whether, you know, you're an infantryman or you're in logistics, you have to practice your trade, and having the discipline to understand that you needed to do that, you know, whether it was physical activity, doing pull-ups, running, or just being, you know, technically sound and understanding your job, it really helps.
Tell everybody how you qualified for the American Century Golf Tournament as the Warrior Open champion.
Yeah, so the Bush Institute, which is a nonprofit organization that, you know, is ran by donors, and the George Bush Presidential Center, you know, they have this, what they call the Military Service Initiative. And, you know, President Bush and Mrs. Bush had a vision to honor the sacrifice of our post 9/11 veterans. And this is their way they give back. And what they do is they host a golf tournament every year. They call it the Warrior Open. They also have a 100K high endurance mountain bike race. And everyone that participates in these two events is considered part of Team 43. And obviously I'm proud to be part of that team now. I was invited this year to come out and play. I was surprised by the invite. I went out there, got to meet President Bush. The first night we had dinner, we sat at his table. Very humbling. A great president, great man. I truly honor him, and I was proud to serve for him. But to be there and have conversations and meet him was just an unbelievable experience. And then to go out on the golf course and, you know, just play with other veterans and hear their stories. Like Andrew Batchelder, who was the winner from last year, I got to play a practice round with him and I heard his story, and I got to meet Andrew Smith and Tyson Quink, which are both double amputees. And it's just unbelievable to meet some of these veterans and hear their stories. You know, I consider myself one of the very lucky ones. You know, I was able to fully recover from my injuries, but to be there with them and meet them and hear their story and be part of that Team 43 now is truly an honor. And to win was just icing on the cake. I mean, I played a great round, couple hiccups on my front nine, but I ended up pulling it back. And it was a great experience. I was able to hold my composure. I ended up finishing with a 75, a 3 over par. In looking back at it, I really didn't know what my total score was going through the round. I was kind of just in that zone. I've shot lower than 75 before, but to be in that moment and be there in that situation was just, you know, it was unbelievable for me to experience that and then ultimately win and now represent all the veterans, whether they're deployed, and those, especially those that we've lost and given the ultimate sacrifice. You know, I'm proud to just represent them, go out to the American Century Championship, and hopefully represent.
We only have about 2 minutes left, but the dynamic of the American Century is totally different. Tahoe is at altitude. You're going to be playing with Charles Barkley. You're going to be John Smoltz. It's going to be a different type of field.
Yep, Ron, I'm super excited. I know there's going to be pressure, and I'll be nervous, but I'm excited to get out there. And I, you know, I'm a huge Bears fan, so I'm hoping to meet, you know, Brian Urlacher, Matt Nagy, and then, you know, I would really love to play with Aaron Rodgers because, you know, being a Bears fan, I felt some heartache with Aaron Rodgers in the past year, so I'd like to get some revenge on him. So.
Yeah, for sure. By the way, I will make a prediction right now. I've made it every year that you will shoot better than Charles Barkley. And you won't hurt as many people with your golf shots.
It's a bold prediction.
We only have, as I said, about a minute here. And when you think back about what you overcame and where you are right now, what is the one single thing, Jerry, that got you here?
The one single thing, it would have to be the support of my friends and family. You know, they've been here through thick and thin, my lows and my highs, and especially my wife, Tammy, and then my two kids, Kylie and Jake. And then my parents, Chris and Deb, my family has supported me throughout everything. And all the friends I've made, and, you know, it's just been a true awesome experience to be part of, you know, 20 years of military service and just their support is the one thing that got me through it all.
Well, good luck in this tournament. I'll be looking on television to watch it. Again, it's the American Century Golf Tournament being held in Lake Tahoe starting on July the 12th. And Jerry Woods has been with us. He is the champion of the Warrior Open Champions. And so he earned a right to be up there to play for prize money as well in the tournament. And that tournament has raised over $5 million for charity over the years. I want to thank you very much, Jerry. You're welcome here anytime on Sports Byline. Come back and visit with us.
Thank you, Ron. Take care.
Again, Jerry Woods, he is a retired captain in the Army, and he was seriously wounded by a mortar shell. And having been to Iraq and Afghanistan as many times as I have, I'll tell you what, I love being around these men and women. We're ready to crank it up and continue on as we move along with you on Sports Byline.
It has been said that everyone has a book in them, but do you have the time or the ability to write your book? Maybe you picked up some skills or had a life experience that you want to pass on in the form of a book to help others. Maybe you want to leave an autobiography for your family. Or maybe you've built a successful business and you want to share your story. At Dorrance Publishing Company, we have professional writers who can help turn your book idea into a finished manuscript quickly and affordably. A Dorrance ghostwriter can provide as much or as little help as you need to complete your book. You'll work directly with your ghostwriter to finish your book faster than you ever could on your own. It's easy to become a published author. Call Dorrance now to learn more.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. Call right now. That number is 800-485-6003.
Are you an active stock market investor? Well, then you know these three key words: buy, sell, hold. Those three magic words can make or lose you money in the stock market. What if we can show you a time-tested tool that's been helping stock market investors succeed for over 30 years? It's called VectorVest, an amazing system designed to make smart investing easy. The VectorVest system analyzes, sorts, and ranks over 19,000 stocks every day and tells you when to buy, what to buy, and when to sell any stock to maximize your profits in less than 10 minutes a day. And if you call right now, you can test drive our amazing VectorVest system risk-free for 30 days for just $9.95.
800-584-2519. 800-584-2519. 800-584-2519. That's 800-584-2519.
If you or a loved one is suffering from a physical or emotional condition that has left you unable to work, then listen carefully. Take this number down. 800-593-7491. That's 800-593-7491. When you call, you'll speak with a Social Security disability expert and get a free evaluation to see if you may qualify for disability insurance benefits from the U.S. government. That's right, a monthly cash payment paid directly to you from the Social Security Administration. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied disability benefits, call now. The disability attorneys at Pinnacle Disability can help you build your case, file an appeal, and represent you at no upfront cost to you. Don't wait another minute to see if you may qualify for your Social Security disability benefits. Call Pinnacle Disability Group at 800-593-7491 for your free case evaluation. That's 800-593-7491. 800-593-7491. Call now.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Dave Stewart joins us on Sports Byline, former Major League pitcher for 15 years, who has been a pitching coach, a sports agent, front office executive, and the general manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks. And he played, of course, for the Dodgers, the Rangers, the Phillies, the A's, and the Blue Jays. Jay, you grew up in the Oakland, California area. Large family, eight brothers and sisters. Tell me a little bit what that household was like.
Hectic. It was a hectic household. Six of those eight are girls. And so you can imagine a three-bedroom house with one bathroom for all of us girls and boys to share. My mom and my dad had their own bathroom upstairs. So it was a little crazy at times, but we grew up very, very close, and we're still a very close-knit family.
What type of town was Oakland when you were growing up?
Great baseball town, a great football town. The Raiders, when I was a kid growing up, were a very, very good team and were the true example of excellence. And the A's, were going through the World Series runs of 72, 73, and 74. The area in general, God, when I was a kid, we had so much stuff going on. We had the Black Panthers. We had the Symbionese Liberation Army. We had the movement of Malcolm X. We had, there was a lot going on at the time that I was growing up. The Oakland Bay Area, for me, living in it was a good area, but externally it's always been perceived as a bad area, and so I guess it just depends on who you are and where you come from.
Your dad was a longshoreman, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. Worked for Pacific Maritime over in San Francisco.
I say that because he did not want you to play baseball. He didn't think anybody could make a living playing baseball, right?
I remember when we used to talk about it, and I embarrassed him with some of my other relatives. When my dad's friends used to ask the group of us what we wanted to be, which, that's the typical question of kids. What do you want to be when you grow up? My nephew or might say he wanted to be a doctor. My cousin would say he wanted to be a lawyer. And then here I come. I want to be a baseball player. And that used to really discourage my father. He told me that you can't grow up and play baseball. There's no way you're going to make a living hitting a ball with a stick.
So it was you.
Correct. He was correct. I didn't make it hitting it with a stick. I made a living throwing it.
So it was your older brother that taught you how to play?
My brother Gregory taught me all three sports. Greg was a really, really good athlete, and 5 years older than me, so I had the opportunity to play up. I was always playing with his friends, whether it was football, basketball, or baseball. I think probably our true love for both of us was baseball, because we used to play baseball year-round in the backyard.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, why did you gravitate in baseball? Because in high school, you were just an outstanding player in football. You had 30 college scholarships to play football, and you started out as a catcher, did you not?
Yes, I did. The only way, I caught a lot in Little League and played outfield. And then, you know, getting into the high school team, the only way I would be able to make the varsity team is if I caught. And so I made the varsity team as a freshman, as a catcher. And you're right, I did love football. Football was obviously an aggressive sport, but it was a fun sport for me. I grew up playing Pop Warner football with the Oakland Dynamites, and Coach Rakino was our coach then, and Ray Luce. And, you know, we had a really, really good Pop Warner team, and most of my friends liked playing football, and so I started taking football a little bit more seriously. When I realized that I wasn't going to go very far in it, it was when I made a couple of college visits, and I realized that the average height was 6'4", and the average weight was 260, and here I am, a kid graduating out of high school at 5'10", 190 pounds. I didn't think I was going to have much chance at college football.
Yeah, that makes it a little bit easier to say, let's play some baseball. The Dodgers drafted you in the 16th round, and they decided to take you and turn you from a catcher into a pitcher. What was it that they saw in you, Dave?
You know, I don't know. I always threw the ball very well and threw the ball hard. The few games that I pitched at the high school level, I threw very hard. So I was drafted, and coming out of the draft, it was several weeks after the draft, the Dodgers did a tryout camp in San Rafael. And so I went to the tryout camp with Eddie Jewell, who was our area scout at that time. And the Dodgers at that time had me catch the first three innings, and then I threw the last three innings, and I guess they liked what they saw better, me pitching than catching.
You made your Major League debut on September the 22nd, 1978. It was against the Padres. Tell me a little bit about that, because you started off as a reliever primarily.
Well, in the minor leagues, I started the whole time. And then once again, you know, the early Dodger teams with the starting pitchers that they had, there wasn't room for me to break into the rotation. And so my first time up was a separate September call-up. And sure enough, I got a chance to pitch against the Padres. And I think it was relatively, God, it was so long ago, man, you're dating me. Such a long time ago. But I believe it was a relatively easy first outing.
Yeah, you only gave up one hit. You pitched two innings and only gave up one hit. You know, it was back at that time, Dave, that the organizations all had an aura and they had a characteristics. The Dodgers played baseball this way, and everybody that was in the minor league system learned to play the Dodger way. The Yankee players learned to play the Yankee way as well. Tell me a little bit about the development of the character of that organization and then baseball generally overall at that time.
Well, I know we, in the Dodger organization, there were always veterans, and there were always the alumni that we could look to. I mean, with the period of time that I came up, you know, Sandy Koufax was around, Roy Campanella was there, Don Newcomb was around, Ralph Branca, Duke Snyder, and when you're seeing these guys in the camp, Junior Gilliam was one of our coaches, first base coach, Maury Wills was around. So when you see these guys in our camps, and you listen at the stories, and you know we were in Dodgertown, which was like a small town, and all the players were there, the big league players with the minor league players, and you get a chance to actually touch and feel those guys and talk to them. It gives you a sense of pride, and it also gives you a sense of tradition of the organization, and it was a great atmosphere to grow in baseball.
You know, you bring up a very good point about the pride factor. Today with specialization, you have the middle reliever, you have the setup guy, and you have the closer. But back when you were playing with the Dodgers in the early part of your career, correct me if I'm wrong, Dave, but I really feel that pitchers took such pride that they didn't want to see that manager or pitching coach coming out of the dugout to maybe take the ball away from him. And knowing how you were so laser-focused when you were in a ball game, particularly in the playoffs, was that something that came out of that period of time when you came into Major League Baseball?
You know, I learned from some good ones. I was around Don Sutton a lot and Bert Hooton a lot. Mike Marshall for a period of time, Jerry Royce. I was around some good guys that really instilled in me and taught me the definition of being a starting pitcher for that period of time. And you know, the thing that was that I kept best through that whole period of time, and Sandy Koufax told me this, is the best way to assure yourself a win is to keep the middleman out of the game, get as close as you can to the last out, and I never forgot it.
Before we break here in about 30, 40 seconds, you were released by the Phillies. What was your state of mind when that happened?
Confusion. I didn't understand it. I felt that I was one of the better arms and one of the better young pitchers on that staff. And so I was really, really baffled that I was being released, and was actually pretty upset at the game for that period of time. So when I was released, I was really contemplating not ever playing again.
What kept you going?
You know, I talked with some good friends of mine, Dusty Baker and, you know, Davey Lopes, and those guys told me that you'll regret if you leave the game. You know, when you have an opportunity to be out there, be under the sun and smell fresh cut grass, the only alternative when you leave this game is for them to take the uniform off your back, but you never give it back to them.
Dave Stewart has joined us on Sports Byline, pitched in the majors for 15 years outstandingly, had four 20-win seasons, had a career record of 168 victories, 129 losses with a 3.95 career ERA, but he dominated the postseason with an 8-0 record, and he played for three World Series championship teams, and he also had a no-hitter. We'll continue talking about his career as we move across the country and around the world on Sports Byline.
Losing hair sucks, and two out of three guys will experience hair loss by the time they're 35. I'm part of that two out of three. I'm glad I found Keeps, the easiest and most affordable way to keep the hair that you already have. These FDA-approved products used to cost so much, but now, thanks to Keeps, they're finally inexpensive and easy to obtain. How easy? All it takes is a five-minute sign-up. You have to answer a few simple questions and snap some photos to complete your online doctor consultation. And fear not, the licensed physician will review your information online and recommend the right treatment for you, and then it's shipped right to your door every 3 months. And Keeps treatments are up to 90% effective at reducing and stopping further hair loss. And did I mention? Starts at only $10 a month. So if you suffer from hair loss, the last thing you need to do is wait to see a doctor. With Keeps, there's finally a way to get the help you need when you need it. For a limited time, receive your first month of treatment for free. Go to keeps.com/golf. That's KEEPS.com. Keeps.com/golf.
Attention, this important consumer alert is brought to you by Annuity Action Network. Hey, did you know it's possible to receive upfront money from your monthly settlement payments? It's true. If you receive monthly payments from an annuity or a structured settlement and you need a lump sum immediately, then you need to call Annuity Action Network. With your cash today, you can pay off credit card debt, pay medical bills, fund your education, or improve your home. You don't need to wait. Call the Annuity Action Network now to get your fast cash with no hidden costs. And if you call today, we'll even send you a $100 cash gift card just for verifying your settlement payments and your contact information. If you have a structured settlement or an annuity and you want cash now, call Annuity Action Network right now.
800-514-9170. 800-514-9170. That's 800-514-9170.
You'll do it right to make your home look its best, indoors and out. Lowe's does it right, too, because we're the only national home center that carries Purdy paintbrushes and rollers, the number one brand preferred by pros. So if it's good enough for pro jobs, you can be sure it can take on yours. For your outdoors, update your patio furniture and save big with up to 25% off patio clearance items. Whatever your next project, do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offer valid through 6/26. Selection varies by location while supplies last. U.S. only.
The backyard's looking great, Rob.
Thanks, man. I was planning on adding a deck, too. Know any good contractors?
Why don't you just ask HomeAdvisor?
Home what?
HomeAdvisor.com. You just tell them about your project, and they match you with local pros that can do the job.
Nice. How much does it cost?
Oh, Home Advisor's totally free to use. Plus, you can read customer reviews, check pricing, and book appointments for free.
What's the website again?
HomeAdvisor.com. Or just download the free Home Advisor app.
Home Advisor.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Dave Stewart has joined us on Sports Byline USA, almost in a as an afterthought. It was a blessing that you were let go by the Phillies, because that, in 1986, you signed on with the Oakland A's. Tell me why that was such an important period of time for you, Dave, in your life and career.
Well, I mean, even, you know, getting to the A's initially, I mean, it wasn't an easy road as I remember it. I signed with the ball club. I tried out for them, I did a bullpen in Baltimore, which was probably a half an hour, 45-minute drive from Baltimore. And I threw for Sandy Alderson and Wes Stock and Jackie Moore at that time. And within a week, they signed me, and I went to Tacoma. And I got to Tacoma and pitched one game. Three up and three down, and I think I had a couple of strikeouts, and then I was here with the big league club. And once I was with the big league club, it became then a wait and see. And once again, I really started thinking, man, what am I doing here? And you know, I guess, you know, all of a sudden things started to change, and the biggest change came when Tony La Russa took over the team. And you know, things kind of took off after that.
And there was a key game, was there not, when Tony took over, that he had you pitch? I think it was against the Boston Red Sox and maybe Roger Clemens, if I'm correct about this. That was really something that was important at that early part of being with the A's, wasn't it?
He gave me the assignment of starting the first game for him when he took over the club. And he called me in Milwaukee. It was to make me aware that he was going to give the ball to me. And then the addendum to that is that it was a Monday night game, which, you know, at that time they had baseball on Monday nights. And then the second part to that was that I was pitching against Roger Clemens. And then the third part to that is that Roger Clemens was going for some type of record. I think it was consecutive wins or something having to do with that. And I had a good showing. I went seven innings, and we ended up winning that game.
Before you faced Roger Clemens, was there something about him that brought the best out on you? Because every time you faced him, you seemed to dominate him.
You know, I think it was more the fact of, one, their ball club, the Boston Red Sox baseball team, they were really a club that I matched well with. My style of pitching would match well because they were a team that liked the ball out across the plate, whereas I used the inside part of the plate predominantly. And then as I started to really get into the pitcher that I became, I took pride in the fact that if I got an opportunity to match up, not just against Roger, but any of the top guys, whether it was Roger or Guidry or Finley or Viola or Morris or Petrie or any of those guys, I really took pride in the fact that it was my day, and the ball club was counting on me to give us an opportunity to win a game.
That domination in the postseason, 8-0 with a 2.08 ERA in the American League Championship Series, and of course you were the 89 World Series MVP, two wins against the Giants with a 1.69 ERA. Did you view the postseason and those particular games in a personal way that you really needed to, you wanted to make a statement with your effort?
You know, when we got to postseason, once again, it raised for me a different level of responsibility. And, you know, Ron, when you have been a player that was released and traded not once but twice and released, It gives you a better appreciation for when the door finally opens for you. And I swore to myself, if I ever had the opportunity to just show the kind of pitcher that I was, I would always take that opportunity. And so, you know, when Tony and Dave Duncan gave me the responsibility of starting game one of the playoffs or game one of the World Series, I really, really wanted to make sure that we got off on a good foot.
You have credited pitching coach Dave Duncan with helping improve your pitches. How did he do that? What was it that he recommended?
Well, I don't even know if it was so much helping me with my pitches as well as it was adjusting how I thought about doing my job and going about the business of doing my job. I think that's where we benefited, where I benefited most. He really helped me to think about going out and challenging hitters and going after hitters and making each pitch count. And then on top of that, after the Clemens confrontation, the first game, he really, really, really encouraged me to use my forkball, which I had never been encouraged to use it before.
You know, one of the things in my career that has been so important is I was involved with two periods and two teams that, you know, I'll never forget. One were the 49ers with Bill Walsh there and when they won the five Super Bowl championships. The other was being around the Oakland A's during that period of time in which you were pitching for them, and there was others, Jose Canseco and others like that. There was something about those Oakland A's that I've never been able to put my finger on it. So help me out here a little bit, Dave. What was it that made them so driven, so complete? You had a great manager in Tony La Russa, Dave Duncan as a pitching coach. You had Mark McGwire as a power hitter and all of that. And then you had people like Ricky Henderson, Dave Henderson, Murphy as well. What was it about that team?
Well, I mean, we at some point, we all took on the, I think, the personality of the guy that managed us. Tony was a relentless manager. I mean, he managed with a chip, and he gave us the idea, and he gave us, I guess, the strength to go out and play the game in the same way that he managed. We never took anything for granted. We went out and we played every inning of every game. He managed every inning of every game. We played every inning of every game.
Your third championship came, of course, with the Toronto Blue Jays, and you left the Oakland A's as a free agent and signed with them, something you didn't particularly want to do. You thought you'd finish out your career there. Was that transition and all of that difficult for you to deal with?
It was. It was one of the toughest things that I had gone through. I thought when I was traded the first time from the Dodgers to Texas, I thought that would be the toughest experience that I'd ever go through in baseball. And then all of a sudden, you know, I'm released, which actually wasn't that bad. But then to go through the experience with the A's and being at home and being comfortable and being a part of the community, it was a tough experience.
What was the atmosphere like up in Canada as far as baseball and with the Toronto Blue Jays? Because they were somewhat of a relative new franchise to some degree. How did you find that?
You know, I had the good thing about being a free agent is I had the opportunity to pick where I wanted to go, and there were a few clubs. Thank goodness. That felt I still had something left in the tank and that I could, you know, help a team win. And so, you know, Texas had made an offer, and Chicago had made an offer, Detroit had made an offer, and there were a couple of other teams. But Toronto made the first call. They were the first team the first day that they were available to call. And Paul Beeston at that time and Pat Gillick had spoken to my agent, Tony Attanasio, and let Tony know that they had interest, and they stayed with it. And so I felt that I'd have an opportunity in 1992. They were a good team, and they had won a World Series in 92, and then in 93, I felt that it would be a good opportunity for me to finish my career winning another championship. And so I'd always liked the city. I'd always liked the people in Toronto. And I admired Cito Gaston, the manager. And then they topped it off with getting Paul Molitor there. And Joe Carter was already there, two guys that I admired. And you know, if I could have planned it, I couldn't have planned it better to be able to play with those guys. And we ended up winning.
One of the things I've always respected about you, Dave, over the years that I've known you is the pride that you take in whatever you do. And I know back in 1995, you were back with the A's, and you chose to retire rather than make the move to the Oakland bullpen. And you made that public announcement on July 24th, 1995, saying it was a low point in your life and you just couldn't perform like you wanted to anymore. That honesty with yourself, is that a hard thing for most athletes to do, is to be honest that they can't perform at a level that they once did?
I think so. You know, and it's only hard because of the emotion that you put into the game. I mean, when you really think about it, I started playing baseball at just turning 18 years old, and I had been a part of baseball all of my adult life. And the hard part is not so much realizing that you're not capable of playing it. The hard part is leaving what is basically the life that you've grown to know and what you've grown up into from a young kid into an adult.
We only have a couple of minutes left, and I want to ask you, you have a very interesting perspective when it comes to baseball. You've been a very successful player. You also have been somebody that represented players like Eric Chavez and Matt Kemp and Chad Billingsley, and now you're in the front office on the other side of that table. What has that perspective, having been through those other stages, certainly shown you about the game?
Well, I've done it before, not at this level. I was an assistant GM and director of player personnel, and so I got a taste of it then. For me, my appreciation for this, and it's already happened here, is I've talked to a couple of guys in our clubhouse, and most of the guys, we've got a bunch of guys here over at Salt River, our spring training facility. God, we've had as many as 20, 30 guys in and out of the facility daily. And so when I do get an opportunity to walk through the clubhouse, you know, I've gotten complimented by a bunch of the guys that, you know, they don't feel like they're talking to a general manager. They still feel like they're talking to a player. And, you know, I've tried to, and the one thing that I've promised myself is that I'll never lose the player's perspective. I always want to continue to look at what I'm doing from the player's perspective, but also keeping in mind that I do work for management. And, I mean, so far the experience has been great. It's been absolutely outstanding.
When you think back on your long career and the time you've been in baseball, is there a particular moment that's kind of engraved in Dave Stewart's mind?
You know, I've always talked about this. I mean, people ask me about the no-hitter. Is that being the most memorable moment that I've played? And for me, the most memorable moment, the thing that I've carried from this game the most, is the last game that I pitched in 1992 for the A's. It was dealing with some injuries that year and not being able to do my normal, which is complete games and give a lot of innings, but promising my teammates after we had a tough loss to the Toronto Blue Jays in the playoffs that we would win the next day and go to Toronto, and I'll always remember that moment.
Dave, I want to thank you very much, not only for what you did on the field while playing baseball, but also for what you've done off the field as well. You've been a real standard for players, and I have known you for a long time. I respect you, I admire you, and I appreciate our friendship. You are welcome back here anytime on Sports Byline, so please come back and join me again.
Anytime you have me, I'll be glad to do it.
Dave Stewart with us, former major league pitcher for 15 years, who has been a pitching coach, a sports agent, front office executive, and now the general manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks. Played 15 years in the majors, playing for the Dodgers, the Rangers, the Phillies, the A's, and the Blue Jays. But he had his most success, obviously, with the Oakland A's because he had four 20-win seasons. He dominated the postseason with an 8-0 record and a 2.08 ERA. And 1989 World Series MVP. He also threw a no-hitter, and it was against Toronto. We continue with more of you and Sports Byline.
Rebuild or replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400. Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at 800-222-2313 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-222-2313. That's 800-222-2313. 800-222-2313. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warrantech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit TocoWarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
Remember in the beginning, when you first started to build a life for you and your family, you never imagined it would come to this. Instead of living your dreams, you're living with debt. In fact, it's smothering you. Now there's a way you can take back control with one simple call. If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you qualify to receive a free, no-obligation consultation on how to get rid of that debt for good. Call the Debt Helpline now. We work on your behalf to reduce your debt. We specialize in credit cards, retail store cards, and medical bills. One simple call is all it takes to get the ball rolling to a debt-free life. Stop living with debt and start living your dreams. Call the Debt Helpline now.
800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. That's 800-957-6063.
Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Clapper, Chief of Orthopedic Surgery at Cedars-Sinai Medical Group in Los Angeles, California. Dedicated to your health, your life, and your sports. As a weekend warrior, you know about sports injuries and pain. Exercise is an important element in keeping your body's core in good shape to minimize sports injuries. But when you are in pain, there is one product that I recommend to my patients, and that is Blue Goo Gel. Blue Goo consists of a proprietary formula developed specifically for the treatment of inflammation and general muscle aches and strains. I recommend Blue Goo for my patients coping with hip and knee pain before surgery, especially bursitis and tendonitis. Give Blue Goo a try. Call 1-888-330-0123 and you'll receive a one-week supply of Blue Goo absolutely free. The makers of Blue Goo are even paying the shipping. The number again is 1-888-330-0123. If you want more information on Blue Goo, visit online at www.dothegoo.com.
Now available at select Big Five stores near you.
This is America's Sports Talk Show. Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
That's going to wrap up this hour of Sports Byline. We talked some baseball with Dave Stewart, former pitcher for 15 years, also been a pitching coach, sports agent, front office executive, and a general manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks. He played 15 years in the majors. He had four 20-win seasons while pitching with the A's, dominated the postseason. And in the 89 World Series, two wins against the Giants, and he won three World Series championships and also throw a no-hitter against Toronto. And we talk with Jerry Woods. He is going to be somebody representing the military in the upcoming American Century Golf Tournament that starts on July the 12th. Great story there. He won the Warrior Open Championship, and that got him qualified for this tournament. I'm Ron Barr. Hang around. We've got more coming your way on America's Sports Talk Show.
Hi, this is Rick Tittle. Make sure to tune into my show, Titillating Sports, every Monday through Friday. And it'll be 3 hours from 9 to noon on the West Coast, noon to 3 on the East. Once again, check me out, Titillating Sports, every weekday on Sports Byline.
You're listening to the Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Protesters in Hong Kong storming the legislature there today, marking the anniversary of the return to Chinese rule. They used a metal cart, poles, and pieces of scaffolding to repeatedly slam into the building's reinforced glass, which finally broke. The demonstrations continuing to protest a proposed law that would allow people accused of crimes in Hong Kong to be sent to mainland China to be tried. After saying last week it would do so, Iran is confirming it's breached its enriched uranium stockpile limit, violating the 2015 deal it had reached with the United States and other major powers. The Islamic Republic's foreign minister making the announcement today in defiance of a warning from European nations that also signed that agreement that President Trump has since pulled the U.S. out of. This is USA Radio News.
Do you wish you could get better sleep and maybe lose a few pounds? Maybe more than a few pounds? Well, there's this product called Calitrin that helps with both sleep and weight loss. Just listen to what people are saying about it.
I've been taking Calitrin for right about 3 months, and I've lost 24 pounds and 19 overall inches. But my sleep has improved, I have so much more energy, and I have the desire to succeed more than ever. Anyone who needs weight loss, more energy, and better sleep, this product really does deliver.
Hi, I'm Roger. Over the 3 months that I took the product, my sleeping habits are increasingly much better. I got a better night's sleep, and I just can't say enough about the product and how it makes you feel. Also, additionally lost a little bit of weight on the program as well.
Hi, this is Erickson. I take Calitrin for weight loss, and I've lost about 20 pounds, and I feel great.
Calitrin is scientifically proven to help with sleep and weight loss safely and effectively. Check it out at toploss.com. That's toploss.com.
The central United States is in line for some severe thunderstorms today, with heavy rains and driving winds slamming a broad stretch of the country from northeastern New Mexico and West Texas into southern Minnesota and Wisconsin. The NTSB is beginning its review of evidence following the crash of a small plane in Texas on Sunday that killed all 10 people on board. Witnesses and some video evidence seem to indicate that the plane simply veered off just after it lifted off the runway at the Addison Airport, slamming into a hangar.
We cannot confirm that there was an engine failure at this point. There are any number of possibilities that could occur, and as I said, we're not in a position to speculate on those kinds of things.
That's Bruce Landsberg, the vice chairman of the NTSB. The Vatican reaffirming Catholic policy that priests cannot reveal what they've heard in confession, even if governments are trying to find out. And this is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290.
Reports say former White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders is going to be writing a book soon about her time in the Trump administration. Axios is reporting that Sanders will be moving back to her native Arkansas and will relax with family for a month or so before she starts work on the book, then hitting the speaking circuit as well. Axios also reports Sanders is thinking about running for governor of Arkansas in 2022. That's a siren sounding in the Afghan capital of Kabul today, as security forces are fighting with Taliban gunmen who stormed a government building after a truck loaded with explosives blew up right near the defense ministry. Over 100 people, including about 50 kids, have been injured. And that's all coming as the U.S. and the Taliban are sitting down for another round of peace talks in Qatar. Facebook will be banning ads that discourage people from voting going into the 2020 presidential election season. The social media giant announcing it will start putting its new don't vote policy into place this fall. Facebook expanding its policies against voter suppression last year when it banned posts that spread misinformation about voting methods and election dates and times. Facebook's still developing the new Don't Vote policy and is looking for advice from voting organizations. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
This is a health warning from Dr. Approved Medical, America's trusted resource for back braces. If you're 65 or older and suffering from back pain, you may qualify to receive an advanced pain-relieving back brace at little or no cost to you. Many people are now using our pain-relieving back brace as an alternative to surgery or harmful medications and experience pain relief that they haven't felt in years. Don't let your back pain turn into something worse. Remember, if you qualify for no money out of pocket, there's nothing to lose and only real pain relief to gain. Our friendly team of experts will handle all paperwork and will deliver it for free. 800-507-1148. Your pain-relieving back brace may be covered by Medicare at little or no cost to you. Call our hotline now and get free shipping, plus a complimentary, easy-to-use pedometer. 800-507-1148. 800-507-1148. 800-507-1148. Little to no cost with full insurance payment, copay, and deductible. Supply promo subject to qualification while supplies last.
Live, worldwide, Sports Byline USA. And here's host, Ron Barr.
And glad you could join us for this hour of America's sports talk show, Sports Byline. Before I tell you what's coming up this hour, let me urge you to check out the award-winning Sports Byline USA website, because there's a couple of things I want to point out. One, our fan poll question. When we launched Sports Byline USA as the first national sports talk radio network back in 1988, I instituted the fan poll question. And the reason I did that is because from day number one, I always said Sports Byline belongs to you fans. I wanted this to be a network in which you could hear people from all various sports, not just the big four, and that you could also voice your opinion either through interviews with the athletes or open lines, and also through our fan poll question. And our fan poll question has really gotten some interesting results, because I know the media and others who are the so-called experts in sports will tell you that they think this way and this is really what's happening. But I think after watching this poll since 1988, the fans have a pretty good feel for the pulse of sports and some of the issues in sports. So that's what the fan poll is all about. So check it out. It's on the homepage of sportsbyline.com. The other thing is that I always wanted to be available, as the buck stops here when it comes to this network, I always wanted to be available to the fans for their complaints, their compliments, or their suggestions. And you can do that because all you have to do is go to Ron at Sports Byline, and that's spelled B-Y-L-I-N-E, email me, sign it, and I'll read it, and I'll respond to any email I get from you. So check it out off of sportsbyline.com. Brittany Force is standing by to join us. You know that name, iconic name, because she is the daughter of the iconic drag racer John Force and the sister of fellow racers Courtney and Ashley. And she is an NHRA drag racer and also a champion of the Top Fuel division. And in 2016, she became the first woman to win the NHRA four-wide nationals. And then right after that, a good friend of mine, I knew him when he was playing in the National Football League with the 49ers, and I've known him ever since. You probably have seen him on television and in movies because he is a very accomplished actor. I'm talking about Dwight Hicks, and he played his college ball at Michigan, went on to play in four Pro Bowls. He won two Super Bowls with the 49ers, and he was a key player on the 49ers dynasty back in the 80s. Very interesting person. He'll be with us later on in the hour. We're ready to go. Brittany Force next on Sports Byline.
You know that maintaining your home indoors and out means working with the best brands. Lowe's helps you do it right by carrying trusted names like John Deere and Craftsman, and we help you save on them too. Now when you buy a John Deere Z-Track zero-turn mower, get a $200 Lowe's gift card via mail-in rebate. And you can get your choice of a Craftsman 20-volt max cordless string trimmer or a Craftsman 2-tool 20-volt max power tool combo kit for $99. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offers valid through 626 U.S. only. John Deere offer excludes California, Alaska, and Hawaii.
I've recently discovered the powerful health benefits of CBD oil. I have been using New Leaf Natural CBD oil for some time now, and I love it. CBD oil is non-intoxicating, which makes it ideal for people like me. I want the health benefits of cannabinoids, but I don't smoke weed. I never will smoke weed. Mind-altering effects I do not need. CBD is non-toxic, has potent pain-relieving, and is anti-inflammatory with its properties as well, and that's why the brand I trust the most is New Leaf Naturals. New Leaf Naturals is the highest quality CBD oil on the market, 100% organic, highly concentrated, no additives, grown in the U.S. The only ingredient is hemp. It is pure and simple. Go to NewLeafNaturals.com. That's NewLeafNaturals.com. Save 30% and receive free shipping in the U.S. when you use the promo code Rick. That's right, Rick. Go to NULeafNaturals.com, promo code Rick.
And now, a page from the Diary of Flo.
Dear Diary, there's something about protecting people's homes through Progressive that inspires me, because I just had an idea for a book. Well, it was originally an idea for a movie based on a play inspired by a podcast. But the idea is how you can save when you bundle home and auto. Might not be the best idea for a book.
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive.
Maybe a radio commercial? Guess we'll never know.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Let me ask you a question. How do you feel about genetically modified ingredients?
Don't like them.
Artificial flavors and colors?
No thanks.
Clean ingredients?
Now that I like.
When you care about what's in things and what's not, shouldn't your vitamins be clean too? Sundown Vitamins are all clean all the time. Non-GMO, free of gluten and dairy, with colors and flavors from real food. We even have USDA certified Sundown Organics and kids vitamins too. When you're living clean, choose clean with Sundown Vitamins at supermarkets, drugstores, or on Amazon.
I'm pretty handy around the house, but now that I have kids, I don't want to spend my Saturday installing a toilet or fixing an air conditioner. But thankfully, there's HomeAdvisor. HomeAdvisor helps me find the best home pros in my area to handle any kind of project. You can read reviews of the pros, check their availability, and even book appointments online. And what my wife loves most is that HomeAdvisor is completely free to use.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app to get started. HomeAdvisor.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
There is one name that is iconic when it comes to drag racing, and I think that's the name Force. And, of course, John Force, over 100 Funny Car Championships. It's a family business, in a sense. And Brittany Force joins us, NHRA drag racer and NHRA Drag Racing Series Top Fuel Champion. And, of course, her other two sisters, Courtney and Ashley, also drivers in the NHRA circuit as well. Let me ask you something. At what point did you realize, Brittany, what your dad did for a living?
I guess when I, growing up, it was just normal to me. My sisters and I, we'd pack our bags in the summer and we'd go see Dad at the races. He was always gone. He was never home. So really the only way we'd ever see him would be at a racetrack. And, it kind of became our lifestyle. We traveled a lot. We lived out of suitcases, in and out of hotels and airports. But I fell in love with the sport at a very young age. Really growing up watching my dad, I never thought I'd be driving a top field dragster. But it definitely took me back. It surprised me. But I absolutely love it. And I couldn't see myself anywhere else.
What was it that you loved about it?
Well, I got licensed in a super comp dragster at 17 years old. And I competed there for 3 years. I did another 3 years in A-field dragster, and I had the opportunity to get into a top field car. And my plan was still to stay in an A-field dragster. To me, top fuel was crazy, 330 miles per hour, less than 4 seconds, 10,000 horsepower. I thought that was nuts. But I thought, you know what? This is a great opportunity. I'm going to jump in it, make some test runs, and, see where it goes. And it was my first full pass. I was out at Las Vegas. And that's when I was hooked, making that first full pass in a top field dragster. There's nothing like it in the world.
You know, when you have an absentee father to some degree, it says an awful lot about the strength of the mom in the family. And Lori, your mother, just tell me a little bit about her, how she played into this and how she kept the balance for you and the girls.
She's our biggest supporter. I'm very blessed that, You know, I get to do what I love, and I get to have my family along the way. You know, it's not easy when you're, you know, in a different state every other week. You're somewhere new, and you know, it's tough, you know, living out of a suitcase. And you're never home. You're on the road 24/7. But it makes it a lot easier with my family out there. My sister competes in a funny car. My dad's out there still driving. And my mom goes to every single race. She's our biggest supporter, our biggest cheerleader. So, you know, it definitely makes it easier having them all out there.
There's all obviously the fear factor involved because of the nature of the sport as well. What advice did both your mom and dad give you about that?
Well, my dad always said, don't do it unless you absolutely love it. If there's a moment, just even a moment where you think, I'm not sure if I want to do this anymore, I don't fully love it the way I used to, then get out of the seat, because it is dangerous. Things can go wrong, and you shouldn't be, you know, you shouldn't put that on the line. Unless you absolutely love it, you have to be doing it.
Bobby Rahal is a friend of mine, and we had a conversation one night, Brittany, in which we were talking about racing, and he said to me something that I had heard before since I'm a pilot. And he said that when the car is going 200 miles an hour, you better be thinking 201 miles an hour. Now, that's fine for an oval, as you know. But when you've got something that's over within 4 seconds and is over 300 miles an hour, how does one stay ahead of the car?
You know, it's experience plays into it. Years of experience. Usually it's when you screw up that you learn something, unfortunate as it is. But, you know, you always learn from, you know, your rough days, the days you go out there and you mess up or something goes wrong with the car and you hear it, you respond to it, and next time you could do it a little bit quicker. But really it's just experience, you know, getting that seat time. And, you have to be on your toes. If you're thinking about what's going on, it's already too late. It has to be a reaction. It has to be, you have to respond instantly. And, you know, that's always what I've learned. You know, I learned that back in when I was driving Supercomp. So I've learned that held on to that for years.
Do you have to be careful, Brittany, not to overthink the situation?
The problem is you don't have time to overthink. You have to react. There's really not much time to be thinking about, okay, what can I do? How do I fix this? What's happening? What am I hearing? You don't have time for any of that. It's just an automatic response. And usually the reaction comes off previous experience. Oh, I remember feeling this before and I got in trouble, so it's time to pull my foot out of it. Or I remember feeling this and I could pedal it and drive right through it. We should be okay. So, again, it's just, like I said, experience and, you know, recognizing sounds and, you know, feeling of the car.
I guess the reason why I ask that is that I've been up to the races up in Sonoma, and, you know, you're in the cockpit of the car and you're waiting to come up to the lights to go ahead and run your run and everything. And I'm just wondering, what was the mind thought as you were waiting to finally be able to pull the trigger on the car?
Well, pulling up there, when you're belted in, your heart's pounding. nerves are through the roof, especially on race days. There's nothing worse than first round. First round, for some reason, for me, is tougher than a final round. I don't know what it is about it. I guess it's, at least if you get past first round, you have hope for the rest of the day, you know, that your team's going to be going some rounds and you have something to work with. So I think first round's always the toughest for that reason. But when you pull up there, I mean, it's all the distractions out of your head. As much as things that are going through your head, you've got to let it go and focus on getting in the zone and doing your job, getting the car down there safely and turning on that wind light.
Brittany Force is with us, NHRA drag racer and also Drag Racing Series Top Fuel champion as well. One of the things that I know about drag racing today, because I've been up into the pits and I noticed that it's really technologically a different sport than what it was 5 years, 10 years, and everything. Everything is broken down, computerized and everything. But tell me a little bit about how you as a driver get yourself ready for a race. I mean, you're not run through computers. What do you look for to give you a better indication of the car you're going to have underneath you?
For me, it's putting all my faith and everything in my team. They're my rock. They're my biggest support system. And I put all my trust in them. I put all my faith. I have a great team with my Monster Energy guys. I have crew chiefs Alan Johnson, Brian Houston, who are legends in the sport. So really, it's putting everything in them. And, you know, I just trust that they're going to put me in a safe race car. And when we pull up there, you know, we're hoping to do the best thing we
the best that we can and turn wind lights on. That's what we're all going for.
You set a new NHRA Top Fuel drag racing record with a run of 3.676 seconds over 1,000 feet, and that was at Heartland Park, Topeka, Kansas. And I'm just wondering the forces on your body. Can you explain to everybody what it's like to have to deal with 300 miles an hour in that short a period of time?
You know, you can't compare it to anything, really. But, I mean, I'm completely suited up from head to toe, and I have my belts pulled down so tight that there's not enough room for me to take a deep breath in there. I mean, they are that tight on my chest. Yet when I step on that throttle pedal, I'm still somehow thrown to the back of my seat. It's almost like getting punched in the stomach when you launch and also when you hit your chutes and your chutes come out. It's like getting the wind knocked out of you. It's crazy, but I climb back in it every single time, so I must love it.
What was your reaction, Brittany, in that first win that came in Gainesville, Florida at the Gator Nationals in 2016 after it was all over with and you had a chance to reflect, not just immediately, but later on, sit back and think about what you had done? What came to you?
It was just a really proud moment. I'd been out there for a few years chasing my first win. I never, you know, got to the finals in Supercomp for A-Fuel, so I was really hungry for a win. I wanted to land in that winner's circle, and I'd come close to it plenty of times in Top Fuel, but never, you know, got the last step of it, that final round. So when we won in Gainesville, it was huge. It was huge for my team. A bunch of my guys had never won a race before next to me, so it was something that was really proud. It was a proud moment, and really it was just all our hard work, all the years of almost making it there, it just made it that much more, it made it worth it.
You know, when you're doing 300 miles an hour, I have to ask you a question that I put to Jeff Gordon, who I've known for a very long period. I said, Jeff, how hard is it to get out on the highway and drive at 60 miles an hour?
Well, it's completely different. If I were head to toe in helmet, fire suit, all my gear, yeah, I might have a little bit of road rage, you know, out on the highway. But it's a completely different feeling in your race car. Again, your belts are pulled down so tight. And you know what's coming. You know what to expect when my guys belt me in.
Final question for you. When you think back over your career, is there one particular moment, Brittany, that's kind of engraved in Brittany Force's mind that she'll never forget?
There's a handful of them. But the one that stands out would be winning the championship last season with my team. You know, it took we had a crazy year and we didn't bring home our first win until almost halfway through the season, in Epping. And when we went into the countdown, so the last six races left, we were in sixth place and we moved all the way from sixth all the way to first. And it's just, I mean, it just proves that our team, you know, in the hype of things, when the pressure's on, we really pull together as a team. And we were going to fight it out. We were going to battle it out. And the cool thing was, is it came down to Pomona. It came down to the last race of the season. Second round was when we locked it up. And it's something I'll never forget.
Brittany, I want to thank you. Congratulations on your career. Be sure to give your dad my very best. And take care. Come back again and join us.
I will. Thank you for having me.
Brittany Force, NHRA drag racer and champion. We continue on Sports Byline.
It has been said that everyone has a book in them. But do you have the time or the ability to write your book? Maybe you picked up some skills or had a life experience that you want to pass on in the form of a book to help others. Maybe you want to leave an autobiography for your family. Or maybe you've built a successful business and you want to share your story. At Dorrance Publishing Company, we have professional writers who can help turn your book idea into a finished manuscript quickly and affordably. A Dorrance ghostwriter can provide as much or as little help as you need to complete your book. You'll work directly with your ghostwriter to finish your book faster than you ever could on your own. It's easy to become a published author. Call Dorrance now to learn more.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. Call right now. That number is 800-485-6003.
If you or a loved one is suffering from a physical or emotional condition that has left you unable to work, then listen carefully. Take this number down. 800-593-7491. That's 800-593-7491. When you call, you'll speak with a Social Security disability expert and get a free evaluation to see if you may qualify for disability insurance benefits from the U.S. government. That's right, a monthly cash payment paid directly to you from the Social Security Administration. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied disability benefits, call now. The disability attorneys at Pinnacle Disability can help you build your case, file an appeal, and represent you at no upfront cost to you. Don't wait another minute to see if you may qualify for your Social Security disability benefits. Call Pinnacle Disability Group at 800-593-7491 for your free case evaluation. That's 800-593-7491. 800-593-7491. Call now.
Are you an active stock market investor? Well, then you know these three key words: buy, sell, hold. Those three magic words can make or lose you money in the stock market. What if we can show you a time-tested tool that's been helping stock market investors succeed for over 30 years? It's called VectorVest, an amazing system designed to make smart investing easy. The VectorVest system analyzes, sorts, and ranks over 19,000 stocks every day and tells you when to buy, what to buy, and when to sell any stock to maximize your profits in less than 10 minutes a day. And if you call right now, you can test drive our amazing VectorVest system risk-free for 30 days for just $9.95.
800-584-2519. 800-584-2519. 800-584-2519. That's 800-584-2519.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Dwight Hicks joins us on Sports Byline, former San Francisco 49ers defensive back and now a very successful movie and television actor. And he started his career in the CFL with Toronto, went on to play seven seasons with the 49ers, and then finished up with the Colts. And he played his college ball at Michigan and went on to play in four Pro Bowls. And he won two Super Bowls with the 49ers and was a key player on the 49ers dynasty in the 1980s. I know you grew up in New Jersey. Take me back there. Tell me about how you grew up.
Well, first we lived in Camden. My mother and my brothers and one sister. My father died when I was 11, so he never got to see me play. But I was raised by my mother. No one in our family had played sports before. And then I can remember one Halloween, I was coming home from trick-or-treating, and someone pulled a knife on me, a switchblade, to take my candy. And I wasn't going to give it to them. They cut the string, my bag dropped, they took it and ran away. So my mother thought, I got to get my kids out of here. So the next year, we moved to Pennsauken, New Jersey, Pennsauken Township. And I can remember going to the store. She sent me to the store for a female product. They were called Kotex. I think it was like Playtex, Kotex. And I didn't want to go. She said, boy, you better go around that store and give me, you know, what I need. And I reluctantly, kicking and screaming, went to go get it. But while I was there, I saw on the back of the cash register a picture from the newspaper with these kids my age in football uniforms. And I had never played organized football. You know, we threw the ball around, you know, two-hand touch, but I had never played organized football. And when I saw that, boy, I took that female product and went cutting back and forth in the street like it was a football going home. And I was out of breath. I said, Mom, I saw this picture of these guys in a football uniform. Can I play next year? And she said, yes. So that was in 1967 was my first year playing Pop Warner football with the PYAA Panthers, which is the Pennsauken Youth Athletic Association, which had great sports programs for kids.
I have to ask you something that I have heard time and time again in African-American families. about the strength of the black woman. I mean, if it's a single-parent home and it happens to be the mother, I've heard great stories about the strength and the things that they've given up. Tell me a little bit about why that is, and tell me about your mother.
Well, I think that is because during slavery, when a male was emasculated in front of the women, because the male was a dominant force, and when you emasculate them, the only way that they would feel maybe not so emasculated is if their women, the females, they tended their wounds and told them that they are still strong. And I think it was because the black woman had to do that in order for their men to still feel like they maybe weren't emasculated. My mother was a very strong person. She grew up in Prattville, Alabama. And I can't imagine some of the things that she had seen as a child. But she always told me I could be anything I wanted to be, but just to put my best foot forward. She told me that no one was better than me, but I was no better than anyone else. So treat people like I would like them to treat me. And, Ron, that has taken me around the world because I do give people time. I want them to treat me and see them as myself. So when I interact with them, it's like I'm giving that same courtesy as I would want.
After growing up in New Jersey, you found your way to the state of Michigan, playing University of Michigan football there. One, how does a kid out of New Jersey end up in Michigan? And two, tell me about the first time you ever met Bo Schembechler.
Well, the first time I met him, he came to my high school. And people were saying, you know, I was going around the school, Bo Schembechler's here, Bo Schembechler's here. And he came to see me. And so I went down there and I met him. But the reason why he came to see me is because he was in town looking at an offensive tackle at a rival high school at Woodrow Wilson. I believe the gentleman, the student, the football athlete, was named Bill Banks. And so he was looking at Bill Banks at Woodrow Wilson, and I guess I kept showing up in the picture. And so he asked the coach, who is that? That number 21, who is that guy? And Joe Corby was a head football coach at Woodrow Wilson. He said, that's Dwight Hicks. And he said, Bo said, do you think I should go see him? And Corby said, oh, yeah, he's a very fine athlete. And that's how Michigan began to recruit me. And I was all set just about to go to Penn State. But I told Bo that I would promise that I would visit the school. And when I went to Michigan for my visit, I remember looking at that stadium and thinking, wow, I have to play here. Now, it was a great academic institution, but also I had never seen anything like that stadium. And also, Michigan was a team that would play in the Rose Bowl or had a chance to play. And I could remember the announcer who used to announce all the Rose Bowls, speaking of the granddaddy of them all. And I'm like, yes, that's where I want to play. I want to go to Michigan so I get a chance to play in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, that was Keith Jackson, of course, with
Keith
ABC.
Keith Jackson, yes. Oh, Nelly!
You know, there are great rivalries in college sports, but I don't think there is one that is any greater than the Michigan-Ohio State one. And I know I've talked to other players from both those universities about what it was like. Give me your perspective on that rivalry.
Well, this is my first observation of that rival. My freshman year, we were playing Ohio State in Columbus. And right after movie. We had dinner, and then we had a movie as a team. We watched a movie. And so after that movie, I went to my room, and I like documentaries. And I was flipping the channels, and I saw this documentary. And they were talking about how what is now Ohio, or Toledo, Ohio, the people of Michigan came down to fight for that land to make it Michigan. And they showed some, it was black and white battle scenes, and this guy was voicing over this little documentary. And all of a sudden, you saw a flash of something. And I didn't quite know what it was, but it was in color. And the whole documentary was black and white. So I see this flash of, you know, color, and I'm like, what was that? And then he kept going along, narrating this doc, and all of a sudden, you saw two flashes. And I'm like, was that a football game? And as it went on, yes, it was about the Michigan and Ohio State rival. And I was like, wow, these people are serious. And that was my introduction to the Michigan-Ohio State rival.
We have about 1 minute before we have to break here, but is there a moment in all of those Ohio State-Michigan games that kind of sticks out to you, Dwight?
Just the intensity of the game and all that surrounded it, because Bo and Woody Hayes were friends. They all, I think Woody Hayes was the head coach at University of Miami of Ohio, and I think Earl Parsegian came from that group of people under Woody Hayes, and Alex Agassi, Bo Schembechler, and it could have been someone else too, but it was just nothing like it. It's, I feel, the greatest rivalry still in college football because they were friends. Woody would never say Michigan. He would always say that school up north. And it was always the last game of the schedule, and most of the times I was at the University of Michigan, that game would determine who was the Big Ten champion.
Dwight Hicks has joined us here on Sports Byline. We'll talk about his pro career with the 49ers, those two Super Bowl championship wins, and also we'll talk about his after-football life experiences and his career being a television and a movie actor, a very successful one. And we'll talk about other aspects of his life and his career as we continue across the country and around the world. Dwight Hicks, former San Francisco 49ers DB with us as we continue on America's Sports Talk Show.
Losing hair sucks, and 2 out of 3 guys will experience hair loss by the time they're 35. I'm part of that 2 out of 3. I'm glad I found Keeps, the easiest and most affordable way to keep the hair that you already have. These FDA-approved products used to cost so much, but now, thanks to Keeps, they're finally inexpensive and easy to obtain. How easy? All it takes is a 5-minute sign-up. You have to answer a few simple questions and snap some photos to complete your online doctor consultation. And fear not, the licensed physician will review your information online and recommend the right treatment for you, and then it's shipped right to your door every 3 months. And Keeps treatments are up to 90% effective at reducing and stopping further hair loss. And did I mention? It starts at only $10 a month. So if you suffer from hair loss, the last thing you need to do is wait to see a doctor. With Keeps, there's finally a way to get the help you need when you need it. For a limited time, receive your first month of treatment for free. Go to keeps.com/golf. That's KEEPS.com. Keeps.com/golf.
Attention, this important consumer alert is brought to you by Annuity Action Network. Hey, did you know it's possible to receive upfront money from your monthly settlement payments? It's true. If you receive monthly payments from an annuity or a structured settlement and you need a lump sum immediately, then you need to call Annuity Action Network. With your cash today, you can pay off credit card debt, pay medical bills, fund your education, or improve your home. You don't need to wait. Call the Annuity Action Network now to get your fast cash with no hidden costs. And if you call today, we'll even send you a $100 cash gift card just for verifying your settlement payments and your contact information. If you have a structured settlement or an annuity and you want cash now, call Annuity Action Network right now.
800-514-9170. 800-514-9170. That's 800-514-9170.
backyard's looking great, Rob.
Thanks, man. I was planning on adding a deck, too. Know any good contractors?
Why don't you just ask HomeAdvisor?
Home what?
HomeAdvisor.com. You just tell them about your project, and they match you with local pros that can do the job.
Nice. Now, how much does it cost?
Oh, HomeAdvisor's totally free to use. Plus, you can read customer reviews, check pricing, and book appointments for free.
What's the website again?
HomeAdvisor.com. Or just download the free HomeAdvisor app. HomeAdvisor.
You'll do it right to make your home look its best, indoors and out. Lowe's does it right, too, because we're the only national home center that carries Purdy paintbrushes and rollers, the number one brand preferred by pros. So if it's good enough for pro jobs, you can be sure it can take on yours. For your outdoors, update your patio furniture and save big with up to 25% off patio clearance items. Whatever your next project, do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offer valid through 6/26. Selection varies by location while supplies last. U.S. only.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Dwight Hicks is with us. He is the owner of two Super Bowl championship rings, which he won when he was a member of the San Francisco 49ers, winning in 81 and 84 for those seasons. And we're talking about not only his college career, but after that, he had to go up to Canada to play his pro ball. He did so, starting off his career at Toronto. Why was that necessary? Did you not get drafted? Did it not work out in the NFL? What's the story there, Dwight?
Well, I think, from what I understand, that Bo Schembechler put out that I wasn't a coachable player because, as I said to you earlier, I had an upbringing from a very strong mother. And she always told me to stick up for myself. Now, I went to school as a good student, as a good guy. And I thought for myself. As a young man, I had a lot of confidence. And Bo didn't have much to do with the defense, but I guess he saw how people responded to me, the team and other people around me. And I guess he felt that the team respected me a lot, so much so that they made me a captain. And when I was voted captain, Bo came up to me afterwards and he told me that if it was up to him, that I wouldn't be captain. And here I had just had the greatest attribute, the greatest, you know, that a young man could have bestowed upon him by his teammate picking him as captain, electing him as captain. And Bo, I guess I wasn't his type of guy. So Pittsburgh wanted to draft me number one, and they drafted a guy named Ron Johnson instead. And after that, you know, after the first round, you know, I thought maybe I'd get drafted in the second round, but no, I didn't get drafted until the sixth round. So being a sixth-round pick, you're pretty much expendable because a team didn't really invest that much money in you. So they released me, and then I went up in Canada and played about four games. And I hurt my ankle, came back, and signed with Philadelphia the following year. I wanted to go close to home and play because I grew up right across the bridge from Philadelphia. And I went there in the wintertime, started working out really hard. Then the day after we broke camp, I was released. And then midway through that season, the San Francisco 49ers picked me up. And as they say, the rest is history.
Yeah, let me clarify the story here, because there is legend that says that you were managing a health food store. But you said, I think, I was working in the stockroom of a health food store in Detroit.
That is correct. I was not a manager. And I felt that I still wanted an opportunity to play because I thought I could play. Being drafted by Detroit and being in Philly's camp, I looked around. I said, I'm better than a lot of these guys. But it just wasn't working out, and I just didn't understand why it wasn't. But I tell young kids all the time, I say, if you believe in yourself and you feel that you could do something, don't
let anyone take that dream away from you. So instead of finding another career, I just started working in this as a stock boy in this appliance store because I was working out. And if I would have gone into the corporate world and started making money, I think that would have probably solidified my career and I wouldn't have played football. So I wanted to have a job instead of a career outside of football and work on staying in shape and being prepared when that opportunity presented itself, and it did.
Let me move through the rest of your pro career so we can get to your acting career a little bit here. First time you met Bill Walsh, and that was the start of the dynasty years for the 49ers. Tell me what you noted about him and about the difference in that organization than what you had seen previous in other organizations.
Well, first of all, the 49ers organization was pretty unique, and it wasn't as far as an authority type of situation where, you know, you call Coach so-and-so or Mr. So-and-so. Bill made it very apparent that, you know, we're on a first-name basis here. We're helping each other, and you have to respect us. We respect you, and you respect your teammates. But the real football aspect of it, I had never been around an offensive mind like Bill Walsh as far as paying attention to detail. And I'll give you an example. I can remember being in practice, and Joe had completed a pass to Freddie Solomon or Dwight Clark, and it looked good. And any other coach would have went to the next play. Well, Bill says, back it up. Can we line up again? And he said, Joe, I need for Freddie or Dwight to have take one, two steps, and I need him to have the ball right now. Because if you don't give it to him right now, the fake that held the linebacker in the play fake, he would be able then to recover to make a play if you don't give it to him right now. And I'm like, wow, that really impressed me. And I saw that this guy was a stickler to detail as far as being successful.
You beat Cincinnati in Super Bowl 16, 26-21. You had a key interception in that game in the early going. Let me go forward now. You win Super Bowl 19 against Miami. But I really think the key thing was what you said to the team after the NFL season when they lost in a last-minute defeat to Washington, to the Redskins, in the 83 NFC Championship that game. Now, I was there. Washington jumps out to an early lead. 49ers fight back, and they almost pulled it out. But you said one thing to your players that I think really launched the Super Bowl season the next year. You said, remember the feeling.
That is correct. I was one of the first guys in the locker room, and if you can remember, there were two interference calls on Eric Wright and Ronnie Lott late in the game, mm-hmm. which helped the Redskins continue a drive and then kick the winning field goal. And I was the first one in the locker room, and I just watched guys coming in very despondent, an array of emotions, anger, just feeling cheated. And it just moved me and compelled me to say something. And I just said that, you know, we could blame a lot of things or make a lot of excuses for losing this game. But the fact of the matter is we did not play well enough to win. And if we're going to be champions, we have to play above the play calling. If we don't think the play calling is well, offensively or defensively, we have to play above the calls that we're going to get because we have no control over the officiating. And we're just going to have to be that much better. And I said, so remember this feeling because you never want to feel like this again.
When you go to Super Bowl 19, you destroyed Miami. And, of course, there'd been a lot of talk about the Killer Bees, their receiving core and everything. And you win that game 38-16 to polish off a 15-1 regular season. But I need to ask you the question, how gnawing has it been since that season for you to think back on the one loss that you had, a game that you could have won? It was played in San Francisco, and it was a loss to Pittsburgh.
Yes, and that was the only blemish on our record. And, you know, all I could say is the other guys are getting paid too. And we were a little flat. We had a chance to win it at the end of the game, near the end of the game. Pittsburgh was driving. I think the score was tied. And they went for it on fourth down. I think it was inside our 10. Eric Wright makes one of the best defensive plays that a defensive back can make on Stallworth. He lays out. One hand is behind Stallworth's back. The other one reached around and knocked the pass down. The guy on the play said incomplete, and the back judge threw a flag on Eric, and it wasn't even his call, to give him the ball inside, right around the one, because it was interference in the end zone. And Pittsburgh still couldn't push it in. So on third down, late in the game, they kicked a field goal and ultimately won. But that was our only blemish, and I would put that team, Ron, up against any team in NFL history. That was one great team. And Jerry Rice was not on that team.
Yeah, I agree with you. Dwight Hicks is with us, former San Francisco 49er defensive back. And Dwight, every career has to come to an end in professional sports, and yours finally did. You walked away from the game, but you decided to take up a second career. And after your football career, you went on to become a popular actor in films such as The Rock, Jack, Armageddon, In the Mix, also on TV shows How I Met Your Mother, Castle, Body Approved, Cold Case, The Practice, X-Files, ER, and The O.C. What drew you to acting?
Well, I really didn't know what I wanted to do after I finished playing. But over in the Pro Bowl one year, they asked some guys to do a PSA for selective service. So I was one of the guys they asked. So there was script alongside the camera, and they wanted us to read it. So I read it. And the director said, "Wow, you read that well." And I said, "Well, I can read." He said, "No." He says, "It's the way you read it." And he said, "You can make a lot of money reading script like that." And I really didn't think much of it. And then I picked up golf after I retired. I'm walking down a fairway. And this was about 3-4 years later. All of a sudden, it was like that guy was right in my ear. And he said, "You can make a lot of money reading script like that." So I called over to San Francisco to a couple agencies and told them that I'd like to audition for some commercials. And then I opened up my mouth and I said, "If any films or TV shows come in town, I'd like to audition for that." And they said, "Oh, you're an actor." And I said, "No." And they said, "Well, you're studying." I said, "Studying what?" I didn't know that actors actually studied. That's how green I was, or ignorant I was of the craft. And I started doing it, and I was winging it. And then I saw I saw William Forsythe and Sean Connery do this scene, and I'm like, something's happening. I don't know quite what it is, but they were so seamless and organic in the way they were doing this scene, it drew me in. And I think that I saw the skill in that, and I said, that's what I want to be able to do that. So a year later, I moved down to Los Angeles, started scene study, and then went on stage and kept going from there, and I felt that this is what I wanted to do.
We only have a little bit over a minute left. When you think of football and you think of acting as well, both of them have a commonality, do they not? You're being evaluated from a moment-to-moment basis?
That's very true, but the difference is athletics, sports, is very objective, and acting is very subjective. So the two, you know, you can have two people do a part two different ways, and it's up to the person that's watching to see whether they like one version or the other version. In sports, you either catch the ball or you don't. You make the tackle or you don't. So in that respect, they're different. But in the respect that I see, I always started to pay attention to the nuances of sports. And then in acting, you have to pay attention to the nuance of the character and what's happening in the scene. And I think that's what drew me to acting as well, as I start to become more engrossed and really understanding the skill set and the artistry of acting. Because I had I got that from playing football and watching film and paying attention to the details. But it's more physical and more mental in sports. In acting, it's more it's mental in a way, but it's about the emotional life of what you're saying.
Dwight, I want to thank you very much. I've enjoyed our friendship over the years, but also your career outstanding with those two Super Bowl championship wins. And then I always smile when I see you on television with a role that you might be playing in. You are welcome here anytime. Come up and see us in San Francisco.
Well, Ron, I appreciate it very much. Thanks for the opportunity for this discussion, and I look forward to our next time.
Again, Dwight Hicks, former San Francisco 49er defensive back and now successful movie and television actor. We continue on Sports Byline.
Remember in the beginning, when you first started to build a life for you and your family, you never imagined it would come to this. Instead of living your dreams, you're living with debt. In fact, it's smothering you. Now there's a way you can take back control with one simple call. If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you qualify to receive a free, no-obligation consultation on how to get rid of that debt for good. Call the Debt Helpline now. We work on your behalf to reduce your debt. We specialize in credit cards, retail store cards, and medical bills. One simple call is all it takes to get the ball rolling to a debt-free life. Stop living with debt and start living your dreams. Call the Debt Helpline now.
800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. That's 800-957-6063.
Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Clapper, Chief of Orthopedic Surgery at Cedars-Sinai Medical Group in Los Angeles, California. Dedicated to your health, your life, and your sports. As a weekend warrior, you know about sports injuries and pain. Exercise is an important element in keeping your body's core in good shape to minimize sports injuries. But when you are in pain, there is one product that I recommend to my patients, and that is Blue Goo Gel. Blue Goo consists of a proprietary formula developed specifically for the treatment of inflammation and general muscle aches and strains. I recommend Blue Goo for my patients coping with hip and knee pain before surgery, especially bursitis and tendonitis. Give Blue Goo a try. Call 1-888-330-0123 and you'll receive a 1 week supply of Blue Goo absolutely free. The makers of Blue Goo are even paying the shipping. The number again is 1-888-330-0123. If you want more information on Blue Goo, visit online at www.dothegoo.com.
Now available at select Big Five stores near you.
This is an urgent health notice for all residents suffering from back, neck, knee, and wrist pain. You may qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you, but the deadline is fast approaching. Simply call the Health Alert Hotline now.
You heard right. You may qualify for a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace. These items may even be covered by Medicare or your private insurance. The Health Alert Hotline is your brace company. These specialized braces have been tested for pain relief. Call us toll-free right now to determine your eligibility and to learn how to use your private insurance or Medicare to minimize your out-of-pocket cost. Don't wait. If the deadline passes, you may lose your opportunity to get a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace at little or no cost to you.
800-430-9571. 800-430-9571. 800-430-9571. That's 800-430-9571.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
That's going to wrap up this hour of Sports Byline. We talk some football with a guy that's won a couple of Super Bowls, Dwight Hicks, former San Francisco 49ers defensive back, now a very successful movie and television actor. And he started his career in the CFL with Toronto and went on to play seven seasons with the 49ers. Before finishing up with the Colts, he won two Super Bowls with the 49ers, 81 and 84, and he was a key player on the 49ers dynasty in the 1980s. And we also spent some time with Brittany Force, NHRA drag racer and NHRA Drag Racing Series Top Fuel Champion. And in 2016, she became the first woman to win the NHRA 4-Wide Nationals. I'm Ron Barr. Thanks for being a part of America's Sports Talk Show.
My name is Pedro Fernandez, and I've been knocking out all bums for about 32-plus years now on the radio. But if you're not part of the Ring Talk family, I implore you to join us every Saturday and Sunday at 11 a.m. Pacific time right here on Sports Byline.